actors acting on behalf of the Chinese state engaging in activity that threatens UK national security? Yes, of course. Every day in life. I've described that today. I've described it in previous years. That will continue to be true. It's a whole series of different vectors of national security activity that we deal with. Alongside that, of course, sits a different question, which is what should the overall balance of the UK's kind of nation-to-nation relationship with China be? That one is a matter for government.
And specifically on the case that is in the news at the moment, were there frustrations to see the way that that process ended for you personally?
The first thing I'd like to say on that one is how proud I am of my teams, who once again had detected threats to national security and intervened and successfully disrupted threats. That's what MI5's job is, and I'm proud of the way that we did so in this case and in many others. Obviously, it is even better for us if in cases where we create a disruptive effect, if we can ensure that disruptive effect really endures and ideally creates some additional deterrent effect. And criminal prosecutions typically are the very best way of doing that. That's very often what we and the police together do across our casework, countering terrorism and countering state threats. So of course our preference always is to effect the most enduring disruption we can when prosecutions and convictions happen. That's great. So yes, we are frustrated when those things don't happen. In fact, this is not unique. There are sometimes reasons why prosecutions don't work. But the key thing for us to do is to disrupt threats, and that's what we've done.
I wanted to ask you more broadly to describe the changed picture. You know, you focused there on the fact that perhaps a decade ago the equivalent speech would have been much more about terrorism, counter-terrorism, Al-Qaeda, ISIL. What can you just describe the way the world looks from your chair now?
Yeah, I mean, I reflected a bit this morning on the tragic events of the 7th of July 2005 and MI5 with the nation fell silent this summer as we marked the 20th anniversary of that dreadful day. In 2005 and again in 2015, MI5's work was dominated by countering Islamist extremist terrorism. We still have a lot of that to deal with in 2025, but the big shift, especially over the last 5 years, has been the growth in aggression from nation states. And as of today, we are dealing with two very large threats of comparable scale. One is terrorism, and one is state threats. And the hard bit for us is that kind of equalization is not because terrorism has gone away, it's because state threats have grown.
I just wanted to touch on Manchester and the attack at the synagogue a couple of weeks ago now. Does this tell us anything about trends in specifically Islamist-related terrorism in the UK?
I feel I have to start by just repeating my expression of MI5's very deepest sympathies to those who were bereaved, injured or affected by that sickening act of terror. It's probably too soon for us to draw any hard and fast conclusions about whether this horrible episode tells us anything about any deeper trends. My police colleagues have confirmed that we believe that at least a part of the attacker's motivation was Islamist extremist ideology. I would also observe, this is not a comment directly on that event, but quite often in life, we come across attackers or would-be attackers who themselves claim allegiance to a terrorist organisation, but where there is in fact no such connection. So we keep open minds and we investigate wherever the facts take us.
And does the war, more broadly, does the war in Gaza, in your view and from your perspective, alter the radicalisation picture here in the UK?
So MI5 is always acutely conscious of the way in which world events can play into UK radicalisation, potential mobilisation towards terrorism. But as I've tried to reflect once again today, that interplay is not a straightforward or a linear process. It's rarely the case that we see a specific political or world event directly and uniquely cause a terrorist act. It's much more about where world events and the wider environment meet individual, often volatile or chaotic lives, very often on the internet. And it's the interplay between those individual, social, personal factors and the wider political environment. It's where those things meet, as I say, most notably online, that terrorism breeds. Sadly, I believe that we are in a new era. Terrorism remains an intensive focus for MI5 every day in life. But alongside that, we are now having to contend with fast-rising state threats, which have risen by 35% in our casework just in the last year alone. And so this mix of aggression from nation states and terrorists of various flavours, various ideologies, those in combination, in each case accelerated by technology, is creating a tougher era. I think I've said this morning that a more hostile world is forcing the biggest shifts in MI5's mission since 9/11. And that, for me, is a considerable moment.
Thanks for my annual threat update. Just 2 weeks ago, at Heaton Park Synagogue in Manchester, we saw horrific violence against the community at prayer on the holiest day of the Jewish faith. I offer my very deepest sympathies to those bereaved, injured, and affected by this sickening act of terror. It was the kind of appalling act which MI5, our police partners, and many others worked so hard to prevent. This summer, we marked the 20th when the news came in of the horrific attacks which devastated London. The next few weeks, the next couple of years, were a blur, as a generation of MI5 officers gave their all in operations rooms and in foreign fields to take on Al-Qaeda. And we took stock of the threats our nation faced then, of the threats we face now, of how we're countering them. I'd like to take stock with you today, because we are in a new era. MI5's fight against terrorism remains intense. My teams are running near record level threats. On average, our investigations tend to be narrower in scope than once was the norm. My teams are mostly focused on individuals and small groups, rather than larger, more established networks. As I spoke about last year, groups overseas are continuing their attempts to direct terrorism into the UK and Europe. Al-Qaeda and Islamic State are once again becoming... They're both personally encouraging and indirectly inciting would-be attackers in the West. Terrorism breeds in squalid corners of the internet, where poisonous ideologies of whatever sort meet volatile, often chaotic, individual lives. The online environment can blur motive too. Some situations are clear-cut, and so the Counter-Terrorism Operations Centre is now home to the Intervention Centre of Expertise. This is a new and growing multi-agency team of professionals drawn from both the national security community and wider public services. The centre's ambition is to bring a range of professional expertise in managing threats and cases involving adolescents, mental ill health, and other complex risks. If a vulnerable young person on a pathway towards extremist violence can receive the right support, such that expensive and scarce MI5 capabilities are not needed, and fewer children feature in national security prosecutions, that's good for everyone involved. This phenomenon cannot be for MI5 and counter-terrorism policing to tackle alone. We want the centre we've launched to be the start of something bigger. Finally on terrorism, Northern Ireland. Communities there are now living through the longest period without a national security attack since the start of the Troubles. We will continue with the police to bear down on residual threats and degrade terrorist capabilities. Our universities, our critical infrastructure. But now, states are also consistently descending into ugly methods MI5 is more used to seeing in our terrorism case. Putin's grim attempt to subjugate Ukraine is well into its fourth year. But the sweeping triumph once imagined in the corridors of the Kremlin is no closer. Part of Putin's failure is due to the defiant spirit of Kaiser Clark from counterparts in Kyiv, which says, victorious allies win because they fight not against enemies, but for their values and freedom. Wars across Europe are dealing with it every day, from cyber attacks to sabotage. We stand with them, because the UK is no different. In the last year, we and the police have disrupted a steady stream of surveillance plots with hostile intent, aimed at individuals Russian leaders perceive as their enemies. And we're seeing Russia-based figures using online platforms in wider attempts, largely unsuccessful, to sow the seeds of violence purely trained Russian operatives. They happen to be Bulgarian nationals, motivated by money and the thrill of playing spies. They were, in the jargon, proxies. You can see why Russia is resorting to this tactic. Many hundreds of Russian spies were expelled from their embassies across Europe. So, the Russian intelligence services are picking up what they can online, recruiting proxies on social media platforms, instructing them via encrypted apps, and offering pay. You're disposable. You may well be ghosted on payday. When you're caught, you'll be abandoned. You will not feature in a prisoner exchange. You're on your own. With our partners across Europe, MI5 will keep detecting those who take orders from Russian thugs. And we will keep following the trails back to those giving the orders, to imagine they're anonymous and unfindable behind their screens. They're not. Now to Iran. Iran's autocratic regime is likewise frantically trying to silence its opponents around the world, including in the UK. 2025 has required us to grow our counter-Iran effort once again. MI5 has tracked more than 20 potentially lethal Iran-backed plots in just the 1 year since I last stood at this podium. The UK was among the first to call out this wave of Iranian transnational aggression, but we're far from alone. If you will continue to call out this activity, and we will confront it together. Behind the scenes, MI5 and our police partners continue to catch those who are reckless enough to become Iranian pawns. China. The UK-China relationship is threatening UK national security. Whether that comes in the form of cyber espionage, as in the wide-ranging salt typhoon intrusions called out a few months ago, or clandestine just on security grounds, there are good reasons for maintaining a substantive relationship with China. When lines are crossed, being seriously engaged gives the UK a stronger position from which to push back. MI5 will keep doing what the public would expect of us, preventing, detecting, and disrupting activity of national security concern. Our track record is strong. We've intervened operationally again just in the last week, and we will keep doing so. I am MI5 born and bred. I will never back off from confronting threats to the UK wherever they come from. The National Security Act, passed by Parliament in 2023, strengthened our hand against state-backed threats, whether from China, Russia, Iran, or others. Long-standing weaknesses in the UK's legislation have been closed. But in this new era, with multiple overlapping threats on an unprecedented scale, we need to up our game. We can't rely solely on investigating and disrupting. Together, we have to ensure that the UK is a hard target. We want our adversaries to think twice before acting against us. And if they're foolish enough to try, we want them to have limited impact. We don't need everyone to become a national security expert. But whether you're operating critical infrastructure or investing in cutting-edge tech, there are simple and effective actions you can take to protect yourself, your organisation, and the UK. This is where MI5's National Protective Security Authority, or NPSA, comes in. With decades of experience, NPSA can advise you on protecting your supply chain, your valuable IP, your physical assets, whether the threat is from sabotage, theft, or drones. And its sister organisation, the National Cyber Security Centre, NCSC, has produced a cyber action toolkit to help businesses protect themselves. NPSA can also advise on more personal threats. If you serve in public office and are in danger of being targeted by a state actor, or if you need to figure out whether a tempting online job advert in your sector is just too good to be true, NPSA has published advice this week that will help you protect yourself. NPSA and NCSC will work hand in glove to provide expert advice as threats continue to evolve. Check out the NPSA and NCSC websites before the morning after. There's one last risk I can't ignore. You'll have noticed throughout my remarks that technology is an enabler of every modern threat, which brings me to AI. Would-be terrorists already try to harness AI for their propaganda, their weapons research, their target reconnaissance. State actors exploit AI to manipulate elections and sharpen their cyber attacks. AI is far from all downside, of course. It presents precious opportunities for MI5, with GCHQ, MI6 and others to enhance our ability to defend the UK. My teams already use AI ethically and responsibly across our investigations, conducting automated trawls of images we've collected to instantly spot the one with a gun in it, searching across large volumes of messages between suspects to clock the buried phrase that reveals an assassination plot. AI tools are making us more effective and more efficient in our core work. MI5 has spent more than a century doing ingenious things to out-innovate our human, sometimes inhuman, adversaries. But in 2025, I am, on the whole, a tech optimist who sees AI bringing real benefits. But as AI capabilities continue to power ahead, you would expect organisations like MI5 and GCHQ and the UK's groundbreaking AI Security Institute to be thinking deeply today, us aren't we? We're on the case. Before I conclude, allow me to say a few words on the difficulties MI5 has experienced over the last year in the course. I want to affirm on record the importance MI5 attaches to accountability and oversight. It's a process to which MI5 commits itself even when, especially when, we have fallen short of the high standards we rightly have to hit. Going a step further, I recognise that particular responsibilities fall on a secret agency. The fact that our best work has to be done away from the public eye effectively places an additional duty on an organisation like MI5 to ensure the very highest standards in any and all submissions we make into court processes. Being examined under a bright spotlight is something we never see happening to our intelligence service where such scrutiny takes place. And with my teams, I am determined to implement the needed improvements while being held to account for the progress we make. In 2025, MI5 is contending with more volume and more variety of threat. MI5, alongside the police, MI6, GCHQ, the NCA, the military and many others, is part of one of the most capable and connected national security systems in the world. We do succeed in detecting threats people are trying hard to conceal. We do get ahead of them in time to make a difference. And we do manage to lift our gaze to anticipate the next generation of threats and risks. That's why I am so proud of the talented, selfless,
often courageous MI5 people who show up day after day, night after night, year after year to take on these threats. They give their all. They do so behind the scenes, mostly unthanked. Which, in a way, is fitting. As one of Stella Remington's granddaughters said in a tribute paid at her funeral, quiet service is often the most powerful kind. Thank you.